Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Can make me feel better after a loss like that from our beloved Padres is that open, that radio open right there, Queens of the Stone Age and Jim Morrison. We mixed it together, and it just puts me in such a good mood. And I think that's fair. Last night was kind of a bummer. We'll talk about that today ad nauseum. We'll dig into all of the weeds on it. And I love that. I love that about this show. I love that every game is like a playoff game for us. And we really try to take each one seriously, and they hurt, and they feel great. And it's really a fun way to manage a baseball season. Very, very fun for all of us and all of the tier ones out there. Good morning, everybody. We are Ben and Woods. We are on 97.3 The Fan. We are on YouTube. I did want to say this morning, if you're able to view the show on YouTube, it's pretty cool. And the community that we built in the chat there is pretty great. It's what Twitter kind of used to be when we very first started this show. And now it's kind of matriculated over to YouTube. And it's just been great. You can watch us on your big smart TV and all that. And so it's just been great. So thanks however you consume us. It's fantastic. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of this program. Paulie, good morning to you.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. I mean, we're all incredibly handsome fellows. Yeah. So we are missing out on a bit of added value if you're only listening to our silky smooth voices and not seeing our gorgeous faces as well on YouTube.
Somebody tweeted me yesterday and they said the best part of the AJ Preller interview was watching Woods squirm when his phone cut out. And I, when AJ is on, or really any big interview is on, I tend to forget that I'm on a camera. And when AJ's phone cut out yesterday, and we literally thought, he just gave a 5-word answer to start. It was the first question, and he's like, yeah, you know, when you want to find a guy like that, he can definitely fit into DH. Then Ben jumps in. Well, yeah, and then it comes back in, and then we loved what he had to do with the block, and you knew his phone cut out. So I guess my head was in my hands. I don't even know my reaction, but I forget that I'm on camera. So you can see us. You can see me roll my eyes at Ben. You can see Ben roll his eyes at me.
I didn't full back that one.
You waited,
and eventually someone has to fill something, because if he was done with his answer, it's like, I guess you got to ask another question. But what are we doing here? If you're only giving me 5-word answers, why did we set this interview up if you don't want to be here?
Dude, I swear to God, I didn't have any inclination that it was going to be that it was phone cut out. I didn't hear a crackle. All I heard was 5 words, and then it just went, and I went, oh boy, here we go again.
You know, I think they were looking to kind of change up what they were doing. And have some players in our system that they had a lot of interest in.
Just the worst. Oh, my Lord. I was just so panicked. So apparently, I lost my mind on the chat and or on the YouTube thing, and you could see it. So it's pretty fun to be able to watch on YouTube. You can get the real kind of in-time reaction. You can see sometimes my eyes glaze over. You can see Ben's eyes glaze over. You can really, it's a good peek inside your favorite radio show, your second favorite radio show, your third favorite radio show, whatever we are to you.
AJ was actually really good, though.
He was, man.
It was one of our better conversations. I will agree with Andros in the chat, who said, what about AJ delivering the perfect morning, guys?
Perfect.
Exact match to the drop. I in fact, wondered whether Paulie had just thrown in the drop. Or if it was actually AJ saying, morning, guys.
Morning, guys. Just the
I wasn't
exact,
sure.
The exact one.
Morning, guys.
Hey, yeah. Good morning. Good
Which
morning
one was
to
it?
You.
I don't know.
Do we have AJ on the line again? Is he live? Good morning. AJ, good morning. That was. Are you there?
Morning, guys.
Oh, his phone's cutting out again. No, it was fun. It was one of his better interviews yesterday, I thought. There's nothing you can do to control an AJ Preller interview. Is he feeling like talking or is he not? You know, I don't think Howard Stern could get anything out of him half the time. David Letterman. But yesterday he was in a fine mood, and he was good. He was really good. It was the best we've had with him in a while. So if you missed that, I don't know. We may replay it later. We may not. We may play clips of it. We don't really know yet. We're here today just as a nice little bonus for everyone. We're going to be here till 10:15, 10:20.
This is actually not doctored whatsoever. This is from the interview. Or here's the drop that we play all the time.
Good morning, guys.
And here is how it sounded yesterday.
AJ Preller back with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Good morning, AJ.
Morning, guys.
Oh my, just a
morning,
little, bit,
guys.
Little bit lower.
Morning, guys. Morning, guys. Morning, guys. Morning, guys.
Hey, what do you and Ben do? What do you and Ben and Paul do for a living?
Morning, guys.
That's right. Morning, guys.
And, morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning, guys.
AJ in stereo.
Morning, guys.
I forgot what I was just going to say. Oh, yeah. We are going to be here today until 10:15.
Forever.
10:20?
10:15.
3 o'clock.
Maybe a little break, and then Sammy's got the EcoWater SoCal pregame show at 10:20 this morning. For the rubber game of the series against the Chicago Cubs.
A rubber game, because it's...
Can bend, the series can flex either way.
I thought it was, you want to be safe and win it. Use the rubber to be safe. It's a stupid name for a... It is dumb, you got to admit.
Yeah.
The rubber game. Come on. We're going to be a little extra Ben and Woods today. And then tomorrow, you get a little extra Ben and Woods tomorrow. A lot of extras.
Welsh Fryer says, oh, you guys are getting paid overtime?
No, we are on salary.
Not how it works.
We don't get overtime. We will get a nice congratulatory text from the boss today. Thank you. And listen, let's be honest. You're not going to make a show come in for 15 minutes. You're just not. I would be more mad if Adam said, why don't you come in and work 15 minutes tomorrow? I'll be like, I'll kill you. It's longer. My drive to work is longer than the 15 minutes you want me to do. So, Annie, Elston, Braden, enjoy your day off. We'll be here. Sammy will be here. And then tomorrow, you're going to have the roundtable, pizza roundtable. Ben Higgins is your host. It's a lot of fun. It actually is a good time every week. We do have fun doing it. It just makes for a little bit long of a day, and the extra 15 today probably will seem like an hour.
Yeah. Going to have some interesting topics on the roundtable tomorrow. I'm sure we'll discuss some of them on the program today as well. Maybe the first time starting to question some of Mike Schilt's overarching strategies with the San Diego Padres.
I think it's fair. I think the strategy last night was certainly one that sports radio, we can have a field day with today. A field day. It didn't make a lot of sense, really, from the start, you know, from Jump Street last night when the lineup came out. And you can explain it away all you want. Hindsight is always 20/20 when talking about a game. And we do appreciate that. We do understand that. But I think there's definitely some things you can look at and go, what the hell? Why? Like, don't you wish now you had done this? And I don't mean, don't you wish you had not pitched so-and-so for this inning or that? I mean, why didn't you just start with your best lineup last night? You know, things like that. And I think that those are fair fair criticism. So we'll talk about all that today. We've got a killer roster for you today. Benny will set the menu in the next segment. Did you guys do, I mean, last night was a Tuesday night. Anything interesting or exciting for either of you? You worked.
I worked.
Paulie?
Anything interesting or exciting?
On a Tuesday night. Tuesday's kind of a boring night.
Yeah.
We had T-ball.
Pretty boring.
We had T-ball, and then we had a dinner for my brother-in-law.
Oh, okay.
Happy birthday to my brother-in-law, Graham. And we went to Encinitas Ranch after T-ball and had some dinner out in the, you know, the patio. The kids can run around. We basically go, that's what you'll find when you're a parent. You go places where your kids can act like animals and no one cares. Right?
You went to the golf course?
Yeah, I went to the golf course.
And had dinner there?
Had dinner there.
I didn't even know they had dinner
at
the golf course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a turkey club sandwich. Hannah had a salad. The kids had chicken tenders. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's golf course fare. But they have that big field. And so the kids can run around like lunatics there. So that's exactly what you want. You want to go to a place where your kids can behave like cretins and no one cares. But I got to tell you, man, after we had T-ball again last night. And after, when I leave those T-ball games, I've done CrossFit. This is harder. Coaching T-ball is harder than CrossFit. Now, I'm not saying like the CrossFit games or anything. One session of coaching T-ball is equivalent to one session of CrossFit.
Mentally maybe, or physically?
Both,
or both?
Both. I'm so...
Are you having to lift up the T-ballers a lot and move them around?
No, I'm not like clean and jerky. You can't say that about little kids. It's the constant movement. It's really mental too. Like you have to train yourself to not bop them over the head. They're nuts. Like they're nuts. The cool part is that the parents are all in agreement with me and they all say to me, scream at them, get them, do what you have to do. I can't control him either at home. Get on him. This is a good, it's good for me.
You're a proxy for them.
I'm a proxy
for
them.
What they can't feel like they can do at home as parents is it's going to reflect poorly, maybe, you know, negatively impact their future relationship with their child. But you can scream away at them and you'll just be that T-ball coach they once had many years ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And all the parents to a dad and mom, every one of them are like, light them up. Go get them.
Feels like a very modern job, perhaps. Person you hire.
To scream at your
kids. To scream at your children for you.
Yeah.
So their bad recollections when they have therapy later in life, it's not about you.
It's that coach.
It's about that coach, that person that came in to scream at them specifically, but they don't know. Yeah, parents actually hired that person to come in and yell at their children for them.
Kiki says, do you have the one kid on your team that does something weird? There was a kid on my son's team that... I'd like to eat the dirt. I don't have any. Well, let's be fair. I don't have any dirt eaters because we play on an all grass field. That is one thing.
Grass eaters.
I'm a grass eater, so I totally pick
the dandelions.
Just, there's no dandelions, yeah, right. But the thing happened. So last night, and it's a weird reaction from parents where. I'm telling a kid over and over and over and over and over, when you're playing the pitcher, you know, 10 feet from the tee, you have to pay attention. You have to. Ball screaming up the middle, and you get hit in the nuts, you get hit in the throat, you get hit in the face. Now, they're baseballs, but they're the rubber baseballs, but they hurt. They still sting if somebody hits one. So the thing happened last night. Pay attention. Hey, let's go. Eyes on the tee. Eyes on the tee. Eyes weren't on the tee. Ball comes off the tee, hits him right in the stomach. He doubles over. I look over at his dad. His dad's nodding. He's nodding like, yes, it's about time. It's about time.
The Jack Nicholson gift.
The Jack Nicholson like, oh, yeah. Like, you know your kid, it stings a little. He's not hurt and damaged in any way moving forward, but it's like, that's why you listen to your coach, dumbass. I mean, that is exactly, and the other dads are, everyone's nodding in approval as this kid wears a ball right to the gut, and he's doubled over going, you're fine, bro. It's the funniest thing.
Shake it off. My dad always used to say, shake it off.
Yeah, rub some dirt on it, that whole
shake it
bit.
Off.
Shake
some
it
grass
off.
On it.
Yeah, rub some grass on it. It was so fun, but it's also just exhausting. But to see the parents just go, Oh, yeah. That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted to see. I'm telling you, man, it is the most sadistic, wild thing ever.
Well,
but
after T-ball practice, a 4-hour and 15-minute radio show should be a piece of cake for you this morning.
This is a joke compared to that.
We actually have a pretty loaded show as well, including a busy first hour. So we're going to get moving. We're going to come back. Not only will we set the menu, we've got the incorporator to pay off from Jesse yesterday. We have a guest in our first hour as well. Get to our Padres recap, start talking about the game.
Incorporator history, by the way.
Incorporator history. Yeah. Wow.
Something different.
A first.
From Jesse Agler. We will get to that coming up with Ben and Woods. Kelly's got traffic. And then we'll be right back with more on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get right to it. Set the menu, because we do have a busy, especially early part of the show today. We're going to pay off the incorporator in just a couple of minutes. A first ever, as Paulie said.
Historical.
For Jesse Agler on the incorporator. And then when we come back, we'll play our Padres wrap-up, get some highlights, quick thoughts on the game. But we've got a guest coming up at 6:40, Jesse Rogers from ESPN, who was at the game last night.
Love
is always
Jesse.
One of our favorites whenever the Padres are in Chicago. It's always a good time to catch up with him, and this just happened to be the time that worked best in his schedule this week and this morning. So we're going to talk to Jesse Rogers at 6:40. We got some questions on Shota Imanaga. I just saw a question up on MLB Network. Who do you believe in more, the Padres or the Cubs? I didn't see their answer, but I can only imagine they're going, it's definitely
what,
the Cubs.
What network?
MLB Network.
They're going to say the Cubs.
I assume they're saying the Cubs.
You know that.
Now, you know, the Padres have already clinched at least a tie in the season series. If they win today, they will have won both series and taken the season series from the Cubs. So you can't just say, it's definitely the Cubs because they have a better record. I do think their starting pitching has performed much better than the Padres has.
It has.
But
our lineup has performed.
It
really,
looks like
know,
it, yeah.
Last night.
Yeah, last night was tough. We'll talk about all of that. And then in our 7 o'clock hour, take on Woods. Don't Do This. We have some great audio also from MLB Network last night.
Phenomenal.
For Don't Do This. You should enjoy that. It's an Adam Jones Wednesday. He's going to be with us at 7:35. It's a Brett Boone Wednesday. He's going to be with us at 8:35. We've got our Rindle Report and just an overall busy show today as we lead right in to the Eco Water SoCal Padres pregame show. Dylan Cease going up against Hayden Wesneski at 11:20 with Sammy getting you ready at 10:20. So we'll take you all the way there this morning. But let's start, Paulie, with the incorporator and incorporator history last night. First, let's set up with Jesse's visit yesterday, the word that he was scheduled to incorporate into the broadcast. This one comes courtesy of Zach. In our YouTube chat, Paulie, today's incorporator word is?
Zaftig.
Zaftig. Zaftig. It means having a
sounds German.
Full, rounded figure. Plump.
Oh, there we go.
What? I like that.
Yeah. Zaftig.
Zaftig.
All right, Zaftig. Everybody got it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so Jesse Agler, every week, when we give him the word, once he executes the word during the broadcast, he always sends me a text, like, during the game, right away, so that I know where to go find it. And, 6th, 7th, 8th inning, I'm like, I still haven't heard anything. And we don't want to bug Jesse about it. He's got so much going on. 9th inning rolls around, nothing. Finally, about 7:15.
Didn't do it?
I get a text from Jesse Agler. He goes, yeah, I made it happen in the post-game show.
What?
Post-game, they do a post-game wrap. So in a game like last night, if you went to bed early, walk-off home run for the Cubs, Jesse and Tony go to break. They come back. They do, 3 or 4 minutes back at Wrigley Field. Then they toss it to Sammy for the post-game show. And it was in those 3 to 4 minutes. And he goes, hey, man, it was a tight game. And I go, hey, you don't have to explain yourself to me. I get it. So this was...
Yeah, you're doing this for free every week, bro. I get it. Like, you do what you gotta do,
man. It was an intense game. I mean, I guess otherwise he has to get it in like the first or second inning, because you don't really know after that.
Yep. That's the risk. I mean, if you don't get it in early and the game starts, tensing up and getting nervous time, it gets much harder to incorporate the word later in the game.
So here's Jesse and Tony after the commercial break, after the walk-off win for the Cubs.
Amazing.
Yesterday.
Again, this thing had a little bit of back and forth. It was a beautifully played game.
Cubs made a couple of unbelievable defensive plays late that ended up being critical as well. And you knew it would be decided by the slimmest of margins. And you know what? Sometimes it just goes that way. And Michael Busch with a home run against Daniel De Los Santos. Padres had their shot in the top of the ninth inning against the Zoftig Hector Neris, but they just couldn't quite get it done.
Oh, man! It's an adjective?
Hector Neris taking strays, yeah.
Yeah, it's an adjective. Plump.
Round.
He is round. Yeah. His face, he's a round.
Right? Zaftig. Z-A-F-T-I-G. It means having a
sounds German.
Full, rounded figure. Plump.
He very much is plump. That's what
Padres had their shot in the top of the ninth inning against the Zaftig Hector Neris, but they just couldn't quite get it done.
Beyond brilliant. That's so effing good. I can't stand it. I can't stand how good that was. That's one of my favorites ever.
He's unbelievable.
He really is. And the wherewithal to get it in, you know, at the postgame was just brilliant. What a legend and a mensch he is. I'm going to text him right now. One of my favorites.
That's true. He's a couple hours ahead, so you might not be waking him up.
He's probably at the ballpark now.
Yeah,
that's
kidding,
true. He's got an early game. So why don't we we'll break right now. We'll come back and we'll play some more of Jesse's highlights of the game. Quick wrap-up. And then Jesse Rogers from Jesse to Jesse from ESPN will join us from the Windy City as well to talk more Padres Cubs on the way with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the pump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
3-2, the pitch. Bellinger swings, hits it in the air to deep right. Tatis is back. He'll turn around. It's going to go. Home run, Cody Bellinger. Sixth of the year, and in his second at bat back off the injured list, Bellinger goes deep and gives the Cubs a 1-0 lead. 2-2, the pitch. Swung on it. Nasty, nasty splitter. That'll end the inning. Six strikeouts in five shutout frames with Shoto Imanaga. Rise at first base. 2-2 to Profar. The pitch from Imanaga. Hit in the air to left center field. Trying to find the gap. This one is up and out. A home run. Profar, a line drive. Homer to left center field. And the Padres take a 2-1 lead.
That's how you collect data and make the adjustment when it counts. Padres getting active here in the eighth inning. Two-run shot by, guess who? Gerickson Profar.
Oh, and 1 to Morel. Here's the pitch from Matsui. Swung on, lined it to center field right at Merrill, fairly deep. Makes the catch. Talkman is tagging. The throw goes to second. A sack fly and a 2-2 game. Michael Busch leads off against Daniel De Los Santos. Swings at the first pitch. Sends it in the air to deep right center. Gone, a walk-off home run. Well, don't worry about the rain anymore because the game is over.
First pitch heater. Middle. Michael Busch ends it.
Cubs win the game 3-2.
I mean, what a baseball game. You know, pitchers duel and back and forth. And, you know, our guy Vasquez was really, really good and got us into the fifth. And, you know, Maury Home clearly did his job. And Colwick with a clean seventh. And, of course, their guy's really good as well. Yeah. Pitched very well. And, you know, we're able to get him right there at the end, take the lead. And, you know, and, clearly gave it right back.
Yeah, we saw it.
Full transparency. We kind of hinted at it yesterday. Kind of felt like yesterday was a game the Padres, I mean, weren't, you know, punting on, but it was one that you didn't necessarily expect them to win.
Yeah.
With Randy Vasquez on the mound, we know that Shota Imanaga's really been good. And you sort of were thinking, all right, if you lose that one, you still have a chance to win the series. Not the end of the world. But there was one way, and I actually was talking to my son about this because he had the same feeling. He goes, they're going to lose. And I go, yeah, probably, but baseball's funny. And the way to win games like that is you just hang around until the end.
Yep.
And then one big swing, and all of a sudden,
you've got the lead.
And he texts me, he goes, you called it, Dad. When Gerickson hit his home run, he said that they hung around. You know, they got just enough pitching from Vasquez and Morejon to hang around. And then Gerickson Profar got it. Maybe. Craig Counsell stuck with Shota Imanaga for just a minute too long into the eighth inning, and it backfired and burned them. And they go, this is how you steal it. And, of course, they gave it right back. And that turns what you already expected to be a loss into now all of a sudden a painful,
heartbreaking, crushing,
heartbreaking,
kick in the nuts,
one you regret that you let get away loss, unfortunately, that felt a lot like some of them last season.
Yeah. Is it possible to love a baseball game and hate a baseball game at the same time? Because I think that it is, because that's exactly how I feel about last night's game. I hated it, and I loved it. It was a great great baseball game.
We're going to go into much more detail about some of the strategic decisions of Mike Shildt, his lineup, his defensive replacements, his bullpen usage. We'll talk about all of it. However, we're going to get someone who was on the scene. Jesse Rogers from ESPN is going to join us. Paulie's calling him on right now. He will join us right after our check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Now, I've been following his tweets. He's been at the scene at Wrigley Field talking about this series. Padres Cubs split the first two games. Joining us right now is ESPN's Jesse Rogers, always one of our favorites, with Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Jesse, good morning. Really appreciate your time.
Anytime. What's going on, guys? Good morning.
Doing great, man. Doing really well. What a fun game last night. Obviously didn't work out in our favor, but that felt stupid. And Jesse Agler said the same thing on our broadcast. He goes, it feels insane to say, but the atmosphere here and the way that these last two games have gone have felt playoff-like in May.
Yeah, well, when Wrigley Field is rocking like that and the weather turns here in Chicago, it's a fun place. Today is going to be even more beautiful out there for a day game. And, you know, it's two decent teams, right? I mean, pretty good offenses.
Yeah.
You know, they have some great pitching, although, you know, you guys have been kind of up and down. Darvish and Cease going well, not so much the rest of the rotation. But there's a lot of stars on the field. There's a lot of good players on the field for both teams. And Imanaga versus all those righties last night was so fun to watch. This guy's been lights out, but he tired there late. And it looked like maybe San Diego would steal one, and then the Cubs come back and win. So, yeah. It was a fun game. The Cubs are kind of set up this way. They play a lot of close games. They have great pitching. It comes down to the wire a lot. In fact, the last couple of years they've been built like that, and they haven't really come out on the positive side. I think they're now 5-20 in walk-off situations over the last couple of years. Now that's a little skewed because of the extra inning rule, but last night's walk-off was one of the few ones over the last 2 years where they've been walked off a bunch. So it was a good one for them.
I have to say, I was very curious about Shota Imanaga. Saw the big numbers, but hadn't really had a chance to watch him pitch closely until last night. He obviously wasn't the big Japanese name coming over from the, big, but not Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Yeah. He's been more effective. What have you seen, Jesse? Is this something that he is going to be able to keep doing, do you think? Or as teams see him more often, will big league hitters start to catch up to him a little bit?
Yeah, I actually think the answer is the second one. Now, look, no one would continue on the pace that he was on. I mean, at one point before the home run, his ERA was at 0.65. And what did it go up to after the home run? I don't even look yet.
1.04 or something, yeah.
Okay, yeah, it's still amazing. So he won't keep up that pace. But I do think the second time through, and in fact, I was in your manager's office yesterday, and my brain wasn't working well, and I was like, I was thinking for a second, he had faced you guys in San Diego, but then I quickly realized that wasn't the case. And I was telling Mike Shildt, first time through the league, he's really having success. It's not deceptive. This is the way a couple teams described it. It's not really confusing or deceptive. It's just unique. And they're talking about his release point. So I do think it is something that opposing teams and hitters just need to get used to a little bit. He is a fly ball pitcher. You saw a bunch of fly balls early in that game. They just weren't getting squared up. When they get squared up, it's like the Profar home run. It'll go out of the park. So I think he tired last night, which impacted some of those pitches late. But I think as teams see him more, it will start to even out. Right now, it's a steal for the Cubs. Even if his ERA jumps up to 3, it's still going to be a really good season for a guy not making Yamamoto money. But it does have to do with that release point. It's just a different look for teams. And I do think second and third time through the league, it might come back down to earth a little bit.
Talking to our pal Jesse Rogers from ESPN, what has been the overarching kind of thoughts on Craig Counsell? I mean, you've never seen a guy in a dugout look more worried all the time, and that's whether he's up 12 or down one. I mean, the Padres came back and they won that game earlier in the season, and he looked like he was going to die. I wonder, he doesn't exude confidence all the time, but he's a hell of a manager. What's been the returns and the thoughts about him in Chicago so far?
Yeah, that's an interesting observation, because my description of him would be all business. And maybe that's kind of what you're saying when you see his look in the dugout. He's pretty much all business. Not that he's not a fun guy. I've been out to dinner with him. I mean, I've had, you know, but when it comes to meeting the media and managing a team, it's pretty buttoned up. He's all business, and I think he's like that with players, for better or worse, right? Like, you know, sometimes you want a touchy-feely guy, and I think he knows when to, you know, change his tone when he needs to, whether it's a young player, and I think he's really good with young players, or veteran, or whatever the case may be. But that's my description. He's very businesslike. He's very much like, okay, what do you need to know as a reporter? And he doesn't let you get away with bad questions necessarily. He's a fine guy. I mean, no problem. But that's kind of what I feel like. He's very interesting with his bullpen. First of all, there's no Josh Hader down there. There's no Devin Williams. So I think he's getting used to the fact that he doesn't have a lights-out closer, and that impacts the rest of the pen. But there are some trends that are interesting to me. He's not afraid to send a reliever, bring in a reliever mid-inning and then send him back out the next inning. That can be a little dangerous sometimes. When
we know. We know, that's a big point of contention around here, Jesse.
The up and downs are a big deal. And so, there's certain things that I'm learning about him I didn't know, and I've known him a long time, but I never watched him this closely. So very businesslike and very much like, you know, do your job or we're going to find someone else to do it. Not that direct, not that terse, you know, but I think that's kind of what he's feeling is, if you get out, you're going to find a place on this staff. If you don't, we're going to move on.
What a different vibe from David Ross. I mean, completely 180 degrees. Rossi's so good with the media, you know, so affable and everything else, and also really a fiery guy. And then you got Craig Counsell, just kind of a surgeon over there in the dugout.
Yeah, it is different. Grandpa Rossi was David Ross's nickname, right? And I think that, you know, kind of difference is apparent when you watch these guys. A little bit more emotional emotion out of David Ross, not as much out of Counsell. But I don't know. Like, I said this on MLB Network, and Alana Rizzo kind of thought I was crazy. But I actually think bullpen management's actually a little overrated. Like, again, if you have Josh Hader or Devin Williams, you look great. If you don't, you're searching. They're all 50-50 decisions, right? Last night was a 50-50 decision. I thought it was a mistake to leave Imanaga in. But then again, the Cubs have blown more saves than anybody in the league. So you look good when it works, and you look bad when it doesn't. There's obviously on the margins some that are better than others and all that stuff. No two human beings are the same. But if you have the horses, you usually do better. That's the answer.
You're speaking of MLB Network. I just saw this question on my TV above Woods' head, and I don't know how they answered it, but it was, who do you have more confidence in, the Padres or the Cubs? And I wanted to get your take on it. Obviously, the Cubs are off to a better start, 7 games above .500.
Yeah.
Padres are a game under, but run differential is similar, and the Padres can win the season series from the Cubs if they take the game today. I look at the lineup. I like the Padres lineup. The Cubs' starting pitching has been better. Bullpens have both had their issues. How would you kind of answer that question between those two teams?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to go with the easy answer, and that's the Padres have no chance to win the division, and the Cubs do. It's as much about the competition around you as it is the team itself. Let's just say, the Cubs have a better shot because of the division they're in. Outside of that, I think the Cubs are a little bit more rounded and a little bit deeper, I guess. Now, I say that because they had the most payroll on the injured list over the last few weeks. They had Suzuki, Bellinger, Justin Steele, and they were having success. So they have a highly rated farm system that was already coming through for them, and they've already proven in 1 month to win in different ways. So maybe it's a prisoner of the moment. Their starting staff has been unbelievable lately, but before that, their offense was unbelievable. Their bullpen's been a little shaky, yet they still win. So I'm going to give the Cubs a little bit of an edge. I think there's a little bit more volatility on offense and in the pitching staff of the Padres when you think about Waldron and when you think about Musgrove and his injury now, and then some of those hitters, there's some volatility. I think the Cubs are a little bit more consistent and have proven already to win in different ways. So I think the Cubs are a little bit better right now, and the record shows.
Jesse Rogers from ESPN joins us. Last one for me, Jesse. Tell us what you can about today's starting pitcher for the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about, dipping into their farm system. The Cubs had several injuries on their starting staff, and the guys they brought up and to replace them were even better. Hayden Wesneski's nickname was Nasty, because when he's on, he's got this great fastball, sweeper, slider, whatever you want to call it, combination, real movement. But when he's off, he starts overthinking things, and he starts putting up there on a tee. But that was mostly last year. This year, he's just been really nasty, sort of coming into his own in front of our eyes here. So we'll see. This will be a good test for him. I'm not sure he's even going to stay in the rotation because those other guys get healthy. But he's been great, and it's just a couple, three pitches that when he's on, it's really nasty, hence the nickname. So look for a lively fastball, much better fastball than last year. And his sweeper is kind of his bread and butter pitch. That's always there for him. But if he doesn't have his fastball, it could be a long day.
All right, before you go, I need an unbiased opinion, not here in San Diego. We had A.J. Preller on yesterday, and, you know, we just ride this roller coaster of, oh, A.J.'s got to go, and A.J.'s a genius. Picks up Luis Arraez, they add Donovan Solano, and all of a sudden that depth's looking a little bit better, and now we're all confident again in A.J. Preller. The national perception of where he is, should he continue to get opportunities as the Padres general manager after a decade without a ton of success other than, you know, a couple of postseason appearances? Jesse, what's your thought there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. A decade is the key thing here. Like, you're there a decade, that's usually the number. I mean, it might be well past the number, but that's the number. Like, if you're not having the ultimate success, it's usually time to turn it over to someone else. And even, I think executives, if they were honest, would say that. Now, ones that want to keep their job may not say that, but that is a long time. You know, he has done some good things there, but it hasn't all come together for a consistent run. I do think the Luis Arraez trade could be amazing, lengthening a lineup, rotating guys in and out, resting guys. You know, you have more players than positions when everyone's healthy.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
3-2, the pitch. Bellinger swings, hits it in the air to deep right. Tatis is back. He'll turn around. It's going to go. Home run, Cody Bellinger. Sixth of the year, and in his second at bat back off the injured list, Bellinger goes deep and gives the Cubs a 1-0 lead. 2-2, the pitch. Swung on it. It's nasty, nasty splitter. That'll end the inning. Six strikeouts in five shutout frames for Shoto Imanaga. Arise at first base. 2-2 to Profar. The pitch from Imanaga. Hit in the air to left center field. Trying to find the gap. This one is up and out. A home run. Profar, a line drive. Homer to left center field. And the Padres take a 2-1 lead.
That's how you collect data and make the adjustment when it counts. Padres getting active here in the eighth inning. Two-run shot by guess who? Jerickson Profar.
0-1 to Morrell. Here's the pitch from Matsui. Swung on, lined it to center field right at Merrill, fairly deep. Makes the catch. Talkman is tagging. The throw goes to second. A sack fly and a 2-2 game. Michael Bush leads off against Daniel De Los Santos. Swings at the first pitch. Sends it in the air to deep right center. Gone, a walk-off home run. Well, don't worry about the rain anymore because the game is over.
First pitch heater. Middle. Michael Bush ends it.
Cubs win the game 3-2.
I mean, what a baseball game. You know, pitchers dueling back and forth. And, you know, our guy Vasquez was really, really good and got us into the fifth. And, you know, Maury Hone clearly did his job. And Colwick with a clean seventh. And,
yeah,
of course, their guy's really good as well. Yeah. Pitched very well. And, you know, we're able to get him right there at the end, take the lead, and then, you know, and he clearly gave it right back.
Yeah, we saw it.
Full transparency. We kind of hinted at it yesterday. Kind of felt like yesterday was a game the Padres, I mean, weren't, you know, punting on, but it was one that you didn't necessarily expect them to win.
Yeah.
With Randy Vasquez on the mound, we know that Shota Imanaga's really been good. And you sort of were thinking, all right, if you lose that one, you still have a chance to win the series. Not the end of the world. But there was one way, and I actually was talking to my son about this because he had the same feeling. He goes, they're going to lose. And I go, yeah, probably, but baseball's funny. And the way to win games like that is you just hang around until the end.
Yep.
And then one big swing, and all of a sudden,
you got the lead.
You've got the lead. And he texts me, goes, you called it, Dad. When Jerickson hit his home run, he said that they hung around. You know, they got just enough pitching from Vasquez and Morahone to hang around. And then Jerickson, Profar got it. Maybe Craig Counsell stuck with Shota Imanaga for just a minute too long into the eighth inning, and it backfired and burned them. And they go, this is how you steal it. And, of course, they gave it right back. And that turns what you already expected to be a loss into now all of a sudden a painful,
heartbreaking, crushing,
heartbreaking one you regret that you let get away loss, unfortunately, that felt a lot like some of them last season.
Yeah. Is it possible to love a baseball game and hate a baseball game at the same time? Because I think that it is, because that's exactly how I feel about last night's game. I hated it, and I loved it. It was a great great baseball game.
We're going to go into much more detail about some of the strategic decisions of Mike Schilt, his lineup, his defensive replacements, his bullpen usage. We'll talk about all of it. However, we're going to get someone who was on the scene. Jesse Rogers from ESPN is going to join us. Paulie's calling him right now. He will join us right after our check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Now, I've been following his tweets. He's been at the scene at Wrigley Field talking about this series. Padres-Cubs split the first two games. Joining us right now is ESPN's Jesse Rogers, always one of our favorites, with Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. Jesse, good morning. Really appreciate your time.
Anytime. What's going on, guys? Good morning.
Doing great, man. Doing really well. What a fun game last night. Obviously didn't work out in our favor, but that felt stupid. And Jesse Agler said the same thing on our broadcast. He goes, it feels insane to say, but the atmosphere here and the way that these last two games have gone have felt playoff-like in May.
Yeah, well, when Wrigley Field is rocking like that and the weather turns here in Chicago, it's a fun place. Today is going to be even more beautiful out there for a day game. And, you know, it's two decent teams, right? I mean, pretty good offenses.
Yeah.
You know, they have some great pitching, although, you know, you guys have been kind of up and down. Darvish and Cease going well, not so much the rest of the rotation. But there's a lot of stars on the field. There's a lot of good players on the field for both teams. And Imanaga versus all those righties last night was so fun to watch. This guy's been lights out, but he tired there late. And it looked like maybe San Diego would steal one, and then the Cubs come back and win. So, yeah. It was a fun game. The Cubs are kind of set up this way. They play a lot of close games. They have great pitching. It comes down to the wire a lot. In fact, the last couple of years they've been built like that, and they haven't really come out on the positive side. I think they're now 5-20 in walk-off situations over the last couple of years. Now that's a little skewed because of the extra inning rule, but last night's walk-off was one of the few ones over the last 2 years where they've been walked off a bunch. So it was a good one for them.
I have to say, I was very curious about Shota Imanaga. Saw the big numbers, but hadn't really had a chance to watch him pitch closely until last night. He obviously wasn't the big Japanese name coming over from the, you know, big, but not Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Yeah. He's been more effective. What have you seen, Jesse? Is this something that he is going to be able to keep doing, do you think? Or as teams see him more often, will big league hitters start to catch up to him a little bit?
Yeah, I actually think the answer is the second one. Now, look, no one would continue on the pace that he was on. I mean, at one point before the home run, his ERA was at .65. And what did it go up to after the home run? I don't even look yet.
1.04 or something,
Okay, yeah, it's still amazing. So he won't keep up that pace. But I do think the second time through, and in fact, I was in your manager's office yesterday, and my brain wasn't working well, and I was like, I was thinking for a second, he had faced you guys in San Diego, but then I quickly realized that wasn't the case. And I was telling Mike Schilt, first time through the league, he's really having success. It's not deceptive. This is the way a couple teams described it. It's not really confusing or deceptive. it's just unique. And they're talking about his release point. So I do think it is something that, that opposing teams and hitters just need to get used to a little bit. He is a fly ball pitcher. You saw a bunch of fly balls early in that game. They just weren't getting squared up. When they get squared up, it's like the Profar home run. It'll go out of the park. So I think he tired last night, which impacted some of those pitches late. But I think as teams see him more, it will start to even out. Right now, it's a steal for the Cubs. Even if his ERA jumps up to 3, it's still going to be a really good season for a guy not making Yamamoto money. But it does have to do with that release point. It's just a different look for teams. And I do think second and third time through the league, it might come back down to earth a little bit.
Talking to our pal Jesse Rogers from ESPN, what has been the overarching kind of thoughts on Craig Counsell? I mean, you've never seen a guy in a dugout look more worried all the time, and that's whether he's up 12 or down 1. I mean, the Padres came back and they won that game earlier in the season, and he looked like he was going to die. I wonder, he doesn't exude confidence all the time, but he's a hell of a manager. What's been the returns and the thoughts about him in Chicago so far?
Yeah, that's an interesting observation, because my description of him would be all business. And maybe that's kind of what you're saying when you see his look in the dugout. He's pretty much all business. Not that he's not a fun guy. I've been out to dinner with him. I mean, I've had, you know, but when it comes to meeting the media and managing a team, it's pretty buttoned up. He's all business. And I think he's like that with players, for better or worse, right? Like, you know, sometimes you want a touchy-feely guy. And I think he knows when to, you know, change his tone when he needs to, whether it's a young player. And I think he's really good with young players, or veteran, or whatever the case may be. But that's my description. He's very businesslike. He's very much like, okay, what do you need to know as a reporter? And he doesn't let you get away with bad questions necessarily. He's a fine guy. I mean, no problem. But that's kind of what I feel like. He's very interesting with his bullpen. First of all, there's no Josh Hader down there. There's no Devin Williams. So I think he's getting used to the fact that he doesn't have a lights-out closer, and that impacts the rest of the pen. But there are some trends that are interesting to me. He's not afraid to send a reliever, bring in a reliever mid-inning and then send him back out the next inning. That can be a little dangerous sometimes.
We know. That's a big point of contention around here, Jesse.
The up and downs are a big deal. And so, yeah, there's certain things that I'm learning about him I didn't know, and I've known him a long time, but I never watched him this closely. So very businesslike, and very much like, you know, do your job or we're going to find someone else to do it. Not that direct, not that tent terse, you know, but I think that's kind of what he's feeling is, if you get out, you're going to find a place on this staff. If you don't, we're going to move on.
What a different vibe from David Ross. I mean, completely 180 degrees. Rossi's so good with the media, you know, so affable and everything else, and also really a fiery guy. And then you got Craig Counsell, just kind of a surgeon over there in the dugout.
Yeah, it is different. Grandpa Rossi was David Ross's nickname, right? And I think that, you know, kind of difference is apparent when you watch these guys. A little bit more emotional emotion out of David Ross, not as much out of Counsell. But I don't know. Like, I said this on MLB Network, and Alana Rizzo kind of thought I was crazy. But I actually think bullpen management's actually a little overrated. Like, again, if you have Josh Hader or Devin Williams, you look great. If you don't, you're searching. They're all 50-50 decisions, right? Last night was a 50-50 decision. I thought it was a mistake to leave Imanaga in. But then again, the Cubs have blown more saves than anybody in the league. So you look good when it works, and you look bad when it doesn't. There's obviously on the margin some that are better than others and all that stuff. No two human beings are the same. But if you have the horses, you usually do better. That's the answer.
You speaking of MLB Network, I just saw this question on my TV above Woods' head, and I don't know how they answered it, but it was, who do you have more confidence in, the Padres or the Cubs? And I wanted to get your take on it. Obviously, the Cubs are off to a better start, 7 games above .500.
Yeah.
Padres are a game under, but run differential is similar, and the Padres can win the season series from the Cubs if they take the game today. I look at the lineup. I like the Padres lineup. The Cubs' starting pitching has been better. Bullpens have both had their issues. How would you kind of answer that question between those two teams?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to go with the easy answer, and that's the Padres have no chance to win the division, and the Cubs do. It's as much about the competition around you as it is the team itself. But okay, let's just say, yeah, the Cubs have a better shot because of the division they're in. Outside of that, I think the Cubs are a little bit more rounded and a little bit deeper, I guess. Now, I say that because they had the most payroll on the injured list over the last few weeks. They had Suzuki, Bellinger, Justin Steele, and they were having success. So they have a highly rated farm system that was already coming through for them, and they've already proven in 1 month to win in different ways. So maybe it's a prisoner of the moment. Their starting staff has been unbelievable lately, but before that, their offense was unbelievable. Their bullpen's been a little shaky, yet they still win. So I'm going to give the Cubs a little bit of an edge. I think there's a little bit more volatility on offense and in the pitching staff of the Padres when you think about Waldron and when you think about Musgrove and his injury now. And then some of those hitters, there's some volatility. I think the Cubs are a little bit more consistent and have proven already to win in different ways. So I think the Cubs are a little bit better right now, and the record shows.
Jesse Rogers from ESPN joins us. Last one for me, Jesse. Tell us what you can about today's starting pitcher for the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about, dipping into their farm system. The Cubs had several injuries on their starting staff, and the guys they brought up and to replace it were even better. Hayden Wesneski, his nickname was Nasty, because when he's on, he's got this great fastball, sweeper, slider, whatever you want to call it, combination, real movement. But when he's off, he starts overthinking things, and he starts putting up there on a tee. But that was mostly last year. This year, he's just been really nasty, sort of coming into his own in front of our eyes here. So we'll see. This will be a good test for him. I'm not sure he's even going to stay in the rotation because those other guys get healthy. But he's been great, and it's just a couple, three pitches when he's on, it's really nasty, hence the nickname. So look for a lively fastball, much better fastball than last year. And his sweeper is kind of his bread and butter pitch. That's always there for him. But if he doesn't have his fastball, it could be a long day.
All right, before you go, I need an unbiased opinion, not here in San Diego. We had A.J. Preller on yesterday, and, you know, we just ride this roller coaster of, oh, A.J.'s got to go, and A.J.'s a genius. Picks up Luis Arraez, they add Donovan Solano, and all of a sudden that depth's looking a little bit better, and now we're all confident again in A.J. Preller. The national perception of where he is, should he continue to get opportunities as the Padres general manager after a decade without a ton of success other than, you know, a couple of postseason appearances? Jesse, what's your thought there?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question. A decade is the key thing here. Like, you're there a decade, that's usually the number. I mean, it might be well past the number, but that's the number. Like, if you're not having the ultimate success, it's usually time to turn it over to someone else. And even, I think executives, if they were honest, would say that. Now, ones that want to keep their job may not say that, but that is a long time. You know, he has done some good things there, but it hasn't all come together for a consistent run. I do think the Luis Arraez trade could be amazing, lengthening a lineup, rotating guys in and out, resting guys. You know, you have more players than positions when everyone's healthy. So that could really, you know, put this offense into another stratosphere. It all comes together. Having said that, they need to do something in the postseason. They need to get there and do something. So maybe, you know, this is it. Like, you know, a postseason run or bust for A.J. Preller. But I get the idea of handing it off to someone else. You know, Peter Seidler passed away. Like, there's a transition there on ownership. Should there be a transition among executives? It's a valid question. And I actually think A.J. would agree with that kind of a valid question. So maybe it does come down to this final year in some ways. Like, you got to do something. Maybe it's the wild card, granted, because of the Dodgers. But get in and do something. You've had every opportunity to do so for a long time now.
All right, that makes me feel better because we kind of agree with that sentiment. This is a pretty important make or break season for A.J. Preller. Jesse, we really appreciate it, as always. Thanks for sharing some of your time with us this morning.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Thanks, buddy. Jesse Rogers from ESPN, MLB Insider. Knows everything going on, especially in the Windy City when it comes baseball and the Cubs. And he's been at that entire series. And now they got to face Hayden Wesneski today, if he's on. They're always on when they face the Padres.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. When you start hearing electric fastball and nasty sweeper.
Other than maybe Yamamoto. He's the only guy who's like, hey, he seems nasty against everyone else, not so much against the Padres.
Well, we'll probably see him again this weekend.
Yeah, that's true. He's locked in now.
Now, absolutely.
He looks fantastic. Yeah, it's very cool. But
nobody
yeah.
looked really good in those two games.
No. And I do think, you know, you hear nasty fastball, you hear nasty sweeper, and you just start to think about our right-handed hitters, Manny, Xander, Fernando Tatis Jr. going, all right, well, I mean, obviously, last night, not your best game, fellas. Today could be even nastier coming from, you know, the right side. Those sweepers away, the heater in.
The strategy yesterday was to load the lineup with right-handers against Imanaga.
Yeah.
Was it a bad strategy? Was it a good strategy that just didn't work? I think that's one of the topics I want to get into. I mean, what are your thoughts? Obviously, Machado and Bogaerts, tough night. 0 for 8, 4 strikeouts, right in the middle of the lineup. Manny, when he had that second opportunity on the drop pop-up.
I thought that was...
Baseball karma usually indicates that that's going to come back to haunt the Cubs, and it did not. That was a big moment, but Padres still ended up taking the lead. And the guys who, you know, Azokar, he got 2 hits. You can't really say that putting Azokar into the lineup for Merrill was a bad decision. He got a couple of hits in the lineup being there. Putting Profar at the top of the lineup for a day. Well, he got the go-ahead home run. I mean, that wasn't necessarily a bad call. Donovan Solano in there, he got a hit. He got one of the hits against Imanaga. I don't know that Mike Shildt had a bad lineup necessarily or a bad strategy going into that game against Shota Imanaga. Give Imanaga some credit. He's been a very good pitcher against everyone.
He's carved
not
everyone.
Just the Padres.
No, he's carved everyone. I want to talk more about it. We're going to run out of time here. We can do it in the next segment, though,
yeah.
if we don't have anything else. I would like to talk more about the strategy because I was getting DMs about, you know, the substitution late in game for Jerks and Profar's defense. And then I realized it was bath time and bedtime. And I realized then, oh, Jackson Merrill's now coming up to hit for our best hitter. I mean, in a lineup full of guys that make a lot of money, Jerks and Profar is our best hitter. And I went, nothing against Jackson Merrill at all whatsoever, but I'd rather have Jerks and Profar up there right now.
Mike Shildt did the unforgivable last night. He made me agree with Eric Hosmer on Twitter.
That's exactly right. Hosmer with a really good point.
You should never make me to agree with Eric Hosmer on Twitter.
It's not like Hos doesn't know ball.
He knows.
Hos knows ball.
Yeah.
He just said,
you may not like the messenger, but I think he's absolutely right here.
Good knower of ball, bad executor when he was here in San Diego.
True enough. All right, we'll continue the discussion of last night's game, play a little take on Woods coming up next with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go anywhere.